Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost conservative populist radio program. April is Confederate Heritage and History Month, and here at the Political Cesspool, we're doing our part to bring you the best guests and interviews to raise the public's awareness. Stand by now for another great installment of the Political Cesspool, and here's your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's an honor to be with you this evening, as it is every weekend, but especially this weekend, this Saturday, April 11th. This is Easter weekend, a very special and blessed weekend for those of us of the Christian faith, and we'll be talking more about that a little later on in the show. But welcome, nonetheless, to another installment of the Political Cesspool radio program coming to you live this evening from the studios of AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, and streaming across our affiliate stations and via the Internet, thanks to our good friends at the Liberty News Radio Network. Joining me in the studio tonight is Keith Alexander. Keith, how are you doing tonight?
Doing all right, James. Always good to be with you.
Always great to work with you as well, Keith. Unfortunately, I hate the circumstances that has brought us together this evening. Winston Smith was scheduled to be in the studio with me tonight. Bill Rowland is in Texas this weekend. But unfortunately, we found out just a few minutes prior to showtime that Winston's father-in-law has been rushed to the emergency room under some pretty dire circumstances. So our thoughts and prayers are with the Smith family this evening. And Keith, I appreciate you being willing and able to come in and pinch hit on such short notice. I think we're going to have a great show tonight. I know I say that every weekend, but tonight we've got a couple of fabulous guests, which I guess isn't unlike any other show, but tonight I'll just get down to it. Frank Borzilleri will be joining us in the second hour. Frank Borzilleri is an adjunct professor of journalism and media writing at St. John's University in New York City. He is the author of five books, the latest of which is titled Lynched: A Conservative's Life on the New York City School Board. And so with that, Frank will be joining us in the second hour to talk about his experiences of 11 years of public service on the New York City School Board. And listen, folks, your wildest nightmares about how bad it could be in public education have been realized by Frank Borzilleri, and he's going to tell us that story a little later on in the show this evening. During our third and final hour of tonight's broadcast, we will be resuming our tribute to Confederate History Month as we welcome our good friend Steve McIntyre, who joins us every year around this time. Steve is a Nathan Bedford Forrest historian and is going to be on the program tonight to remind us about the life and times of Nathan Bedford Forrest, and we're looking forward to that as well. Keith, you buckled in and ready to go? I guess it's time for Blast Off.
I'm ready to go, man. Yeah, I'm ready to follow where you lead me.
Loaded for bear. Well, let's just see where the wind takes us this evening and this haphazard night in the cesspool. First of all, Keith, as you know, in addition to interviewing the names you know and the names you should know, we talk about all the current issues out there in the news, and I just want to tackle this right out of the gate. We live in an age where there is, in my opinion, far too much discrimination, not enough multiculturalism, and I am seeing this stuff out there, reading the headlines, these insensitive headlines, about these Somali pirates who have hijacked this ship out there. I think, Keith, first of all, it is very racist for the news media, the establishment press, to be calling these gentlemen pirates. If we've learned anything, that we know they should be referred to as undocumented crew members. And it's a shame that it takes a show like the Political Cesspool to set the record straight on this matter.
Well, the whole treatment by the media of this circus in the Gulf of Aden shows you why the white race is basically headed down the tubes. People of made of sterner stuff, like our forefathers, like Stephen Decatur and the original Leatherneck U.S. Marines that took on the Barbary pirates back around the turn of the 18th to 19th century, around 1801, they would have blasted them out of the water. That's what we ought to do with this group. In fact, that we're piddle-paddling around and letting them get reinforcements, sending them water and food to sustain themselves, you know, it just indicates our weakness. And this is all that we're projecting to the rest of the world.
Well, you know, it's funny, isn't it, Keith? And I guess I should set the record straight lest I receive a bevy of hate mail. If anyone couldn't detect the sarcasm in my commentary at the beginning, I was just being facetious. But nevertheless, it's kind of hypocritical, don't you think? We have such a hawkish government that's always ready to go to war for the wrong reasons. But when we actually are justified to retaliate in force, when I think those situations being when another group of people or another country attacks our God, our country, or our family, you're justified. And now they want to play patty cakes with these fellas.
Well, you know, we spend trillions of dollars developing these sophisticated weapon systems, and then we don't have the will or the courage or the fortitude to use them.
Unless we're, again, using them for the wrong reasons, to cover up some sort of a scandal or to be a proxy for Israel.
Well, what we've allowed to happen, James, in my opinion, we've allowed the American military to become the policeman for one world government. We've allowed our military to be turned into a police force for one world government. And if we're in a one world government, then these Somali pirates, in the eyes of our elites, are fellow citizens of the world with us. And it would just not be right for us to go blast them out of the water or to achieve a true military victory over these people, and particularly if they have a darker complexion than most Americans do. So we've got to play patty cake, like you say, and basically make fools of ourselves to the rest of the world.
Well, that's something we do, unfortunately, on a daily basis, it seems, at least for those of us of the paleo-conservative persuasion. You know, I mentioned earlier, this is a little bit off subject of what we were talking about previously. We'll wait and see how the situation...
Well, you know, there's Willie Nelson and I think it was... what's the other guy? Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings saying, "Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys."
Yeah.
We would implore all paleo-conservatives, red state, white Americans to follow this rubric. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to join the military, because the U.S. military is not going to be used in a proper way. Your children are going to be cannon fodder at best, and at worst, they're going to turn them into persecutors of the American people.
Well, you're exactly right, Keith, and it seems as though the American military, as much as we support them, and listen, this is nothing against the troops. Far be it from us to ever disrespect those who put their lives on the line for something that they believe is honorable. It's a complete, however, disdain.
This is not your grandfather's military. People need to understand.
And it's government that uses these troops inappropriately that we focus our ire on. But meanwhile, you know, then you've got Barack Obama going out there again. I said this is Easter weekend, and this just goes to
apologizing for America in every foreign nation he goes to.
Well, bowing before the Saudi kings and... you know, declaring that America is, in fact, not a Christian nation. We don't claim to be a Christian nation. God forbid we ever were a Christian nation. And meanwhile, here at home and abroad, political correctness, of course, political correctness goes on unabated, but the after effects of political correctness continue to manifest themselves. And no one is spared of that faith. I mean, I'm sure you read, Keith, that the mayor of Indianapolis was robbed in Detroit while visiting there to... taking a basketball game, and he had gone there, you know, and got robbed because he was
the mayor of Memphis,
an area that was rich in multiculturalism.
The mayor of Memphis, and the black mayor of Memphis, was robbed in the Piccadilly cafeteria in his quote-unquote part of town by his quote-unquote people. And, you know, getting back to the military, you know, these people in the military, you were just telling us about the enormities of Barack Obama and how he claims you're no longer a Christian nation. This is now who the military has to swear an oath of allegiance to, not the U.S. Constitution.
That's right.
As it has been through the years, but now to the President of the United States. And what a president we have.
Well, I tell you, it'd be hard to script a worse one, but I'm sure... that if this country is allowed to continue for another 8 to 12 years, and who's to say if it will or won't, they'll probably find a worse one. They do get steadily worse. We'll just see
what happens. And if that's what you want your children to...
I think it could get worse than Bush, but boy, was I wrong.
Well, you know, if that's who you want your children swearing allegiance to and fighting for and, you know, vowing allegiance to, that's what you're doing when you join the U.S. military today.
I guess the only thing that gives me any solace is that even these plutocratic elite are not spared from the damages that they bring upon this nation through their failed policies and the endless... We got to go to break. We'll be back with more.
Okay,
action.
Bud.
We're going to pick it up.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
And those phone lines are open, so give us a call. We would love to hear from you at any time throughout the remainder of the program. Welcome back to the show, and I don't want to dwell on this for too long because we have much too much still remaining to talk about this evening, a lot of ground we need to cover, but I do want to revisit just very briefly the mugging of the Indianapolis mayor. You know, it just goes to show, Keith, just to serve as a reminder, the great disconnect that there is between reality and the false doctrines of cultural Marxism. I can't believe that there is any way that the most ardent believers in this religion of political correctness could really, in all actuality, believe it to be true. Nevertheless, even the biggest practitioners and those in positions of power are not spared from the realities of what we see every day. And what happened there, just to give you the insider details, this Indianapolis mayor was walking down the streets of Detroit, which is a bad idea, and one of the diversities there was faking a seizure. When the mayor went over to check on the guy, his thug buddies ran out from behind the shadows and mugged him, and I think took his cell phone. They thought it was a wallet, but it ended up being his cell phone. Nevertheless, it just goes to show that no one is spared from this reality. But I want to change the subject here, Keith, to something equally dismal to that of the hijacking of the Somali
pirates. By the way, that last thing sounded like poetic justice to me, how the left is hoisted by their own petard, by political correctness. They're, they've created this mess for all of us, and even, like you said, they are not immune to the negative consequences of their own creation.
Well, the you know, the examples of that are everywhere. I mean, you know, the traitorous officials of this country have made such a great diversity wonderland in the public school systems, yet they withhold their children from enjoying the rich diversity that can be found at public schools. And, you know, all that stuff's common. We all know it. But
it's like Dr. Frankenstein,
I guess I get a little guilty pleasure in seeing
escape his creation. You know, Dr. Frankenstein created the monster and he chased him to the North Pole and back.
Well, there you go. I guess the only reason I wanted to infuse that Indianapolis mayor story into the mix tonight is that, yes, I'll admit it, I get a little guilty pleasure of seeing these things occur to the people who really make these things happen.
Chickens coming home.
I want to switch gears here now, Keith, if I can, to the situation in Pittsburgh, which is just, you know, absolutely abominable. You've got this this punk up there who goes on a shooting spree, murdering several cops. But what's equally distasteful is the way that the media tries to use this guy to further the silencing of the paleoconservative majority of this country. It appears as though, and the ADL and SPLC certainly jumped on this, that this guy at one time had visited some sort of a supremacist website, they say. It was a website that they said was infected with anti-Semitism, abound with conspiracies about Jews, had a lot of writing about how the Jews control the U.S. government, so on and so forth. And, I got to thinking, I mean, what website could the ADL and SPLC be referring to? What kind of a website would publish conspiracy theories about Jews running the media and Wall Street and the government? What kind of website would lead a guy to go on a shooting spree of cops? And I figured out which website it was, Keith. It must be the Los Angeles Times. Because right there, in a featured story in December of last year, not 6 months ago, Joel Stein wrote a column in which it was entitled, How Jewish is Hollywood? And the subtitle of that article read, a poll finds that more and more Americans disagree with the statement that Jews control Hollywood, but here is one Jew who doesn't, that being the author Joel Stein. And I'm going to quickly read through this, Keith, and then turn it over to you for some dissection. Here's what Mr. Stein had to say. I've never been so upset by a poll in my life. Only 22% of Americans now believe that the movie industry are run by Jews, down from nearly 50% in 1964. The ADL, which released the poll, sees these numbers a victory against stereotyping. And Joel Stein goes on to say, actually, it just shows how dumb America has gotten. Jews totally run Hollywood. I don't care, he writes, if Americans think we're running the media, Hollywood and Wall Street, or the government. I just care that we continue to keep running them. So, you know, Keith, had you or I or any Christian or Gentile written that article, it would be anti-Semitic filth, according to the ADL. But then you get a Jewish fellow who writes it, honestly enough, and it means it's okay. When Jews boast about their power in media and Wall Street and government, it's nothing but ethnic pride, but it's only hate and conspiracy theory when a non-Jew says such things. But nevertheless, as bad as it was that this you know, criminal, this murderer, went on this shooting spree, I think it's equally distasteful how that shooting spree has been painted in such a way to sort of condemn everyone who is right-thinking on these sensitive issues, particularly when the same people who scream racism when we say it are the same people who are writing about it in just the same way in their own publications. Keith, your thoughts?
Well, two things. First of all, to deal directly with that Pittsburgh shooting, you notice how the vast majority of these shootings, like the one in Binghamton, are done by minorities. And when they're done by minorities, the mainstream media's silence is deafening. We don't hear anything about why this might indicate a need for stiffer and stronger and more stringent immigration controls. For example, in Binghamton, it was a Southeastern Asian immigrant who was frustrated at his inability to keep a job and to learn English.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio program, everyone. I'm host James Edwards, joined by Keith Alexander tonight as my co-host. It's Saturday, April 11th. And by the way, if you like our show, don't forget to visit our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and sign up for our newsletter. Keith, I want to spend about 2 minutes wrapping up the previous segment topic we had, that of the Pittsburgh shooter. And then I want to move on to some other areas. But, you know, in talking about the ADL and SPLC, let me first say that they have made this show. Their incessant attacking of this radio program over the course of the last 4 years has really been what's giving us our name recognition. And because of that name recognition, and because we carry, in my opinion, a sterling reputation, we've been able to attract guests like Pat Buchanan and countless PhDs, elected officials, and authors. We have a sterling guest list. And we really broke through because of the attacking that we've received from the ADL and SPLC for speaking frankly and candidly about issues, just like we've been doing tonight in the last segment. Now, Keith, they would say that that kind of speech that you and I engaged in the last segment was, in fact, anti-Semitic, because we note facts and we quote Jewish sources to back up our opinions on the matter. Was there anything that we said in the last segment that you would deem as, in fact, anti-Semitic, quote-unquote?
Well, I don't think the truth is anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitic indicates some type of irrational prejudice or bias. And, you know, was it saying in the Bible, the truth will set you free? If you can substantiate it, which we can, then it's nothing but the truth. And, you know, 8 out of 8 heads of the 8 major movie studios now are Jews. Now, that's a matter of fact. Who can argue with that? You may not like it emphasized. People at the ADL and the SPLC may not like it emphasized. But on the other hand, for example, they certainly are willing to emphasize the fact that the shooter in Pittsburgh was a white male who apparently had some right-wing proclivities. On the other hand, compare that with the Oakland shooter, this Lovell Mixon black guy that shot 3 white policemen who were just trying to serve an arrest warrant. We get nothing about his motivation, nothing about his race, his ethnicity, his mindset had nothing to do with this, although the people of Oakland apparently knew who he was, because the black people in Oakland turned out in droves to his funeral to celebrate him for killing policemen,
Well, and Keith, again, policemen. It's a matter of public record. It's a matter of fact. And you bring up another good disconnect between political correctness and reality and the way they try to skew our picture of things. You know, you're right. This Pittsburgh shooter, and let me say again for the record, I hope that this man receives justice. I hope that if, in fact, he did do it, and I know you're supposed to say allegedly until he's convicted, but listen, if he is tried and convicted of this, I hope he pays the price. I hope that he receives swift justice for that. But the fact still remains that this is getting just incredible amounts of media coverage, and similar situations just don't. You know, I had the situation, the media is all too excited to rehash the story of the Pittsburgh shooter over and over and over again. But yet when you find situations that make this look almost placid, such as the situation in Knoxville a few years back. I had the opportunity to make an appearance on CNN as a commentator on this matter, those horrific rapes and double murder in Knoxville. But because those were perpetrated by four black individuals, it didn't make anything but local news until there was such an outcry. They had it on CNN, and then they had me on. But, you know, again, and there you have it. You look at some of these statistics.
And most of that coverage was to say that the whole episode was overblown by a bunch of white conservatives that were improperly reacting to what had happened. Now, see, look at this. Let's compare the Oakland murder of three policemen and the Pittsburgh murders of three policemen. In Pittsburgh, where there was a white shooter, you don't see white conservatives rallying and having public rallies in support of the shooter saying that he did the right thing, but you did have that with black supporters of the black shooter in Oakland. But, of course, the media never makes that distinction, you know, about, you know, the two situations. You know, they want to leave the public with the idea that somehow conservatives are dangerous, but black criminals aren't.
Well, and then, again, you are, by textbook definition, a racist for pointing out the fact, and we're talking about crimes here, and let's just talk about crime statistics. We've had Jared Taylor on a number of times. He wrote the book, The Color of Crime. And you look, and it's just a matter of fact that in the year 2005, according to the United States Department of Justice, African Americans committed 37,000 rapes against white women. That's over 100 a day. And in that same year, European Americans raped black women less than 10 times. But
if that many, because, see, it's such a rare crime that it doesn't even register.
But yet you have movies like, what's the movie?
A Time to Kill.
A Time to Kill, exactly.
By John Grisham, in which white Klansmen supposedly go out and rape this poor, innocent, virginal 12-year-old black girl, and her father goes berserk and shoots the white guys. And what they found that Hollywood does, Edmund Conley has written some wonderful articles about this in the Occidental Press. What Hollywood does, they'll get a black rape of a white and just invert the roles and turn it into a script. It will be a white raping a black, and they'll make a movie of that incident when it's actually based on a real live incident where the races were reversed.
Well, and again, and you see that all the time, and thank God that we have the opportunity, and I mean this, you know, because everything we do on this program, we do this on a volunteer basis. We do this because we love our family, we love our faith, and we feel as though there ought to be one radio show out there that's broadcasting the truth on these culturally taboo.
Radio Free America.
It wasn't even taboo 20, 30 years ago. It's already become taboo. Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
I was going to say they used to have Radio Free Europe commercials where somebody was listening to a little crystal radio set behind the Iron Curtain, and some jackbooted thug comes in with an axe and, you know, drops the axe on the radio. Well, that's what we feel like here. We're a voice in the wilderness in America now. Political correctness reigns supreme.
Well, and it does. And so this show, and there's a few other shows like ours, but I, you know, say modestly enough that our show has accomplished a great deal, and we pride ourselves on a certain standard of excellence. But we talk about these things, and we appreciate the people who help make this show possible, and of course that includes our very vaunted listening audience. But I want to shift gears here again, Keith. We don't have a lot of time before our next commercial break, so we're going to carry this over into the next segment. Then, of course, coming up at the 7 o'clock hour, this hour is absolutely flying by. We're going to be joined by Frank Borzilleri, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. And then, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to return our gaze upon the Confederate History Month series that we're engaged in. But, Keith, we talked last week about Iowa. Iowa, of all places, passing, this was the Supreme Court, the black robe tyrants in Iowa, passing the so-called gay marriage, legalizing that, I should say.
Well, they found Iowa. That a legislature, that the Iowa legislature passed a law.
No, it was in Iowa, I believe.
The
Keith,
Supreme Court of Iowa ruled it unconstitutional under the Iowa Constitution.
Right. And so there you have the black robe tyrants dictating that upon the people, that which they don't want in Iowa, which is the standard M.O. of
the... In the best judicial tradition of the Warren Court that, you know, gave us Brown versus Board of Education and Roth versus U.S. and a series of other decisions that basically flew in the face of public opinion.
Yeah, and they're following, they continue to follow the playbook some 50, 60 years later. But now after that, you had Vermont. Vermont, in two states in 2 weeks passing the sodomite marriage ban. That's not the worst of it. Wait until you hear what this charlatan, this liar, Rick Warren is doing. These are the people that really give Christianity a bad name. Wait till you see what Rick Warren has done in the last couple of weeks. It was bad enough that he attended and delivered the prayer at Obama's inauguration, a prayer in which he closed it by not invoking the name of Jesus Christ, not to offend any of the communists there at that rally. But wait, he's one up to his own self. Wait till you see in the next segment what Rick Warren has done, doing everything he can, groveling at the feet of, as I say again, the Vandals and Visigoths of multiculturalism. It's, if you're a Christian, or even if you're not, if you just don't like hypocrites, you're going to be shocked and saddened to hear what this mega preacher is doing. And again, it's just the same thing with Joel Osteen and you know, all of them, Pat Robertson. They're just shills for the politically correct. But we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. And Keith, I know you know what it is. We talk about it a lot. So stay tuned, and we'll figure it out. Let us set forward.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. I wish Johnny would come and march right over to Rick Warren's pulpit. We have saved the worst for the last segment of this hour. Rick Warren, the big mega preacher out of California. Listen, I tell you, and I am not saying this, I'm not overzealous when I say this, I would much rather spend a weekend with Morris Dees or Abraham Foxman than a guy like Rick Warren. You know, in fact, I would rather have Morris Dees in my foxhole than Rick Warren because, well, you'll find out. Anyway, here's what's going on. Rick Warren, this supposed leading evangelical pastor in America, the man who gave the invocation at Obama's inauguration, went on Larry King Live this week and told several flat-out lies. And here's what he said. Larry King had asked Warren how he handled all the controversy that resulted about the president's selection of him to give the invocation, and he said, and I quote, "You know, Larry, there was a story within that story that never got told. In the first place," Warren said, "I am not an anti-gay marriage activist. I have never been and never will be." During the whole Proposition 8 thing, which was, of course, the big ballot referendum in California last year, as you'll remember, Rick Warren said he never once went to a meeting, never once issued a statement, never, never, and I'm reading a direct quote, once gave an endorsement in the 2 years Proposition 8 was going. And with our limited resources, we have posted to our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and everything we say on this program is documented with verifiable facts. We have posted YouTube after YouTube video of Rick Warren during the height of the Proposition 8 debate giving out endorsements saying that he was, in fact, in favor of the measure to outlaw gay marriage. And yet now he goes on Larry King Live and said, that never happened. Now, Larry King went on to ask him if he ever had compared gay marriage to incest or pedophilia. Once again, Rick Warren unequivocally said, no, he would never do that. And once again, we have several articles posted at thepoliticalcesspool.org in which interviews were given with Rick Warren in which he compared gay marriage to pedophilia and incest. So what's going on here? I'll tell you what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Warren may be a brazenly dishonest man, a bald-faced liar who will go on national television and completely distort his record, but he's not stupid. He knows that gay marriage will one day be the law of the land, and opposition to it is now hate. just like the traditional Christian opposition of interracial marriage, is also now hate in the eyes of the culture that we live in. And he's also rapidly backing off from Christian teachings on homosexuality because he doesn't want to be called a hater. He spoke out against Proposition 8, but now denies it. And read the rest of the interview that we have posted, again, on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, where Rick Warren makes clear that he thinks gay marriage is no big deal. Keith, I got to say this one more thing, and I'm going to turn it over to you. Larry King asked him this, and a final question. He said, do you, Rick Warren, therefore criticize or not comment on the Iowa court decision to permit gay marriage? That was an issue we talked about last week on the show. And Rick Warren said this, yes, I'm totally oblivious to what's going on in Iowa. The biggest thing on my agenda is the genocide that took place 15 years ago in Rwanda. Keith, this is a guy that many Christians believe is speaking for them. How bad has it gotten in the mainstream establishment church?
You know, let's take it back to the beginning. You know, cultural Marxism, which is another name for modern liberalism, developed in the 1920s, really gained traction and steam in America in the 50s and 60s, and what they believed was that you needed a long march through the institutions, that you could convert the West, that would be Europe and America, without firing a gunshot. But it would take time, and what you had to do was capture the institutions of a society that set moral, cultural, and ethical values. And once you captured those institutions, then you could have them give out an alternative message of radical egalitarianism. Well, the churches are exactly one of the institutions that the cultural Marxists had in mind. And mainstream Protestantism and Roman Catholicism, unfortunately, have been captured long ago. They are consistently liberal in everything that they do, and that's why people are leaving those churches in droves. We had hoped for a long time that the fundamentalist churches would be Horatio at the gate, holding off the incursions of the cultural Marxists, the liberals, to take them over. And they were for a long time. Adrian Rogers of Memphis, may he rest in peace, was made the head of the Southern Baptist Convention back in the early 80s, and he did stand like Horatio at the gate and kept moderates and liberals from infiltrating into Southern Baptist seminaries, and he held the line on liberalism. But apparently now we have fundamentalist leaders like Rick Warren, like Richard Land with the Southern Baptists, who have basically allowed themselves to be converted into liberals. Now, Rick Warren, as you'll remember, is the guy that wrote this little book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and if you had anything to do with a fundamentalist or fundamentalism, somebody was shoving a copy of that book in your hand over the past decade, telling you how this was just the key to enlightenment and the key to life. Well, Rick Warren is obviously not a religious conservative, or else he wouldn't be taking the positions that he is doing right now. And he's waffling. You know, you had it on your website. He said there are five issues where you cannot vary from orthodoxy and consider yourself a Christian. And one of those matters was gay marriage. And now he's saying he's never been an opponent of gay marriage. Instead, he's more concerned about the genocide between two different tribes of blacks in Rwanda 10 years ago. Well, you know, if this man hasn't sold his soul to liberal, his religion is not Christianity anymore. It is liberalism. And that's what's happened.
And, but, you know, Keith,
you know,
you get
they're just weak as grandma's iced tea.
I don't mean to interrupt, but you get me so fired up just hearing your eloquent recap of this whole dastardly scenario here with Rick Warren. You know, Christianity, the faith of my family, the faith of my forebears, is better than this man, if you can even consider this to be a man. And all this happening on Easter weekend of all that, you know, he went on in that interview with Larry King and talked about all of his gay friends and how close he is with them, and and made it clear that stopping sodomite marriage isn't something that he's concerned about. And, you know, it was more important to get the white members of his church to go out and adopt minority kids. And, you know, but I'll tell you, there's one thing that Rick Warren is right about. He knows that the fight over gay marriage is over and the Christians lost. And so he is going to side with the in vogue. He is going to side with the team that's got the momentum. And I'll tell you why Christianity lost this one. It's because too many people put their faith in impotent, weak leaders, sellouts like Rick Warren. And
well, you know,
I can see it right now, Keith, unless something takes a big turn for the better, and we have no reason to believe that it will right now. In 20 years, Christians who still maintain that homosexuality is immoral will be treated just like the Christians who still hold disdain for interracial marriage in this year. That's what's going to happen. And, you know, I hate to see it. But, I can't see anything else other than that happening, because I just don't see a lot of men out there, good Christian men, that have the backbone to stand up for what's right, political correctness be damned.
Well, Sam Francis had him pegged. You know, Sam Francis was the, probably the intellectual leader of the paleoconservative movement who died in February of 2005. He wrote an article about this phenomenon he called The Religious Wrong, basically making a play on words of the so-called religious right. He said the religious right was not really conservative, and they were a very unreliable ally for other conservatives in the culture wars. And the reason is, if they got their way on gay marriage and on abortion, then they would declare victory and abandon the field of battle, leaving us holding the bag. And now we find out that they're not even committed on gay marriage. I'm sure the next thing they're going to be telling us is a little bit of abortion is okay. Rick Warren will probably come out with that if he can get an invitation to the Obama White House. It reminds me of Robert Dabney's comments. Robert Dabney was an antebellum Southern conservative thinker who basically said that, let me just read this. This was on a cesspool blog a while back.
We're about to run out of time, Keith, for this hour.
Well, let me just say this then. He basically said that the modern conservatism of the day was just a couple of paces behind the most radical left-wing positions, and that it basically was willing to concede the point and move onward whenever the left had a victory. You might print that this week again, that thing by Dabney, but Dabney had it nailed back in the 1870s as to what
we're going to pick it up with that. Don't mean to cut you off. We got to go to break.
1 hour down and two to go. Stay tuned. Hour number two of the Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Hard leap to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight survival, that took out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.